up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 70. I'm so used to saying miniseries. I almost said it again, Michael. I can't do it anymore. I can't
You've done
intro
more,
the
like,
show.
Three or four miniseries out of what, 70 podcasts?
Yeah. Hey man, I got to, what was it, episode like 40 something of like the solo gaming update.
That's
so
true.
I was in that like mode for quite a while.
That's a good point.
I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, coming to you with my co-host, Michael Panarero. Sonic's number one fan still, I believe.
Of course, always. Yeah. Always.
We're gonna
forever.
Keep saying it until someone
say,
proves
us to
wrong.
Me and it's like, oh, we acknowledge you, Michael, as Sonic's number one fan. You can have every game in the future for free. Some merchandise.
Wow.
You'll get the movie. You get to watch it before it comes out again. It'd be amazing.
Now, are you excited for the movie?
I kind of am.
Okay, yeah, because I kind of am too, actually.
Because solid movie in general.
Yeah, yeah. It was a solid, like, movie and then a, you know, pretty good as far as things go with, like, video game mm-hmm. movies.
Plus, so. Tails is going to be in it. Let's see how Jim Carrey evolves as Robotnik, Dr. Mm-hmm. Eggman.
Man, so many things going on.
So many things.
When is that coming out this year or planned to? Right
2020
now?
Or 2022.
Gotcha. Okay. Next year. Okay.
So
okay.
I'm assuming we'll get a trailer sometime.
I read something this morning that Sega's planning, I think, like a music concert for this sometime this year for Sonic's 30th anniversary, I think. And I was like, that sounds right up Michael's alley, maybe.
I know they're also releasing some kind of Sonic game that they've had in the works, I've read.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or his so anniversary.
Yeah, there's something that they're working on, and then I saw
a new TV show.
I didn't know about that animated one. There's a, I think they're in the works for apparently like a remaster or remake of Sonic Colors or something.
Oh, here. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Never played that one. So
yeah,
that'd
me
be
neither.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Look at this. Great time to be a Sonic fan, man. Look at this.
Oh, my gosh. But we are coming to you with our usual podcast, nonsense, madness, all that stuff. And this is April 11th. It's a nice old Sunday recording. I missed what I was going to say after that. I don't remember what it was anymore. It
doesn't feel like April. I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like things have been going pretty quick this year. But also, in the realm of video games, kind of slow.
Yeah.
In a way. Lots of delays just like throughout this year so far. And we'll kind of get to the most recent couple delays here. But this is a show about video games, kind of all the things we love about them and why we love it, as well as just news overall. Got a few things we'll talk about this week, as well as just some games we've been playing. So let's just go ahead and get things started off with some of the stuff we've been going through, Michael. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded together.
Yep.
What do you think are some of the highlights of things you played in this past couple weeks?
It's been a slow weekend in the amount of games I played since I've been going back to the office.
Yeah.
I've been getting home and just like, I just want to...
Just want to sleep.
Just not sleep, just lay down, watch something, and not even play anything.
Oh, gotcha.
But I have played a couple, and one has been that I've been playing for a while. And I'll mention this first, and I won't go too much into it, but Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can say with complete and utter certainty that as of right now, I know it's only April, so it's take it with how you will. Mm-hmm. It is my game of the year.
Ah, okay, I thought that's where you're going with it.
I tried to go back into World, jump back in. Wow, I love World. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to go back.
It's so much slower.
Mm-hmm.
The load times are just much worse. And it's just getting around is just so much easier in Rise, and it's just much more streamlined, which I like.
Yeah
But I've been playing that. I'm like 30 to 40 hours into it. Beat the main, I guess you can call it main, credits rolled.
Okay.
But the story is still continuing on, and I can do the hunter rank and then get to the harder difficulty.
Okay.
Now new monsters are showing up.
That's
new arm.
Ask,
yeah. So got a whole new list of new monsters. I have no idea who they are.
Okay.
New weapons, new things are still unlocking and stuff. So it's great.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Cause that was something that, cause I've been playing a little bit of Monster Hunter World in the past. I think it was last week basically. But going through, cause I remembered like rolling credits originally on the game, and I was like, oh cool, I beat it. Like, you know, I can keep playing maybe if I want to, but I'm okay right now. And
yeah.
So I didn't play for probably like a year or two or something, and then was recently like playing some again. Like we tried together at one point, and then I was just like, wow, I'm getting my butt kicked.
Yeah.
We're both dying real easy. Let's like start a new character. So we did that, and I played a little bit there, and I was like, okay, now I kind of remember how to play. I'll jump back into the other thing. And I found that if you go to the was it just the people who like sell the armor? So you can go to the smith, right, who can mm-hmm. make it, or you can go to the people who sell it. And the people selling the stuff, they did have that armor that we got as like new players. It's like the real strong stuff for like beginning, jumping in straight to Iceborne, I think. And putting that on, I was like, okay, now I'm surviving a little bit better. Still got to manage like health and everything. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but otherwise, like doing better. And then I started to see new monsters pop up, and I was like, wait, there's more monsters to
Iceborne,
come.
Yep.
What's happening? I thought I finished this game. But yeah, that was what I was going to ask about Rise. Is I assume if you finish it, there's probably still new. Things
Oh yeah, a bunch of new ones, bunch of cool ones too.
That's interesting, kind of the way that they do that.
So another reason, get it. Try it. We can team up and play it.
You're so far ahead now. How many hours are you into Rise?
30-40. But oh my god, it's fine. Next one I played. This was a game I thought about. I'm like, why haven't I played it? Like bought it or anything? Because I've watched you play it. You can probably see it on the screen behind me. I watched you play it a long time ago.
Like Disco Elysium?
No, next to Disco Elysium.
Oh, I can't see it. It's on the trophies thing.
Oh dang it.
Which one is it?
Wait,
hold on a second. Is that Catherine?
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Because I watched you play some of it a long time ago. Probably high school.
Back on
college.
The PS3. So yeah, probably high school, I think.
And I think I never played it because it was a puzzle. Games. But it was on sale. So yeah, I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
I'm not great at puzzle games. Yeah, so
me,
that's
me neither.
That's the iffy part. I'm on. Like, okay, I can get better. I can learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a mix of like Persona with like Bayonetta, kind of.
Oh yeah.
Not gameplay
wise. In terms
of
like wacky story wise.
Story and aesthetic and cutscenes and just weird stuff that's going on. I got a like huge vibe from those two games.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Plus there's apparently a new girl.
Yeah. There's a third
Rin,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which you'll find out later and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I can see myself. I don't know if I'll beat it anytime soon because some of the puzzles are freaking hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They start to get pretty tough.
The first level, I died like 5 times. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't get it. This is going too fast.
Yeah.
Let me slow down.
Yeah. I remember playing that back in high school because I was bad at puzzles then too. But I remember going through and like one, it was nice where they had the, in each like dream level or whatever that you're in, the sheep will sometimes teach you a new move.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of apply that to your next thing if you remember to do it.
Yeah.
They start to get so complicated eventually that I'm just like, all right, guys, like calm it down with these puzzles, okay? Like one of them, it's like, oh, dude, we call this the twister. And they started to show me the video and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Just about to say, there's one called the tornado and you just go like
in a
circle. Like, how am I going to find blocks exactly in this position to exactly do this?
Yeah, like, I'm God just like, all right, guys, this is a bit much. I can't do that.
Yeah, no. But it's great. I like... It's very anime, very Persona-like with this cutscenes and like aesthetic. So
yeah, and I started to notice that like if you're having a hard time in some of the levels, because occasionally you'll find those like pillows that are extra lives or whatever. As I was kind of going up through, going up through the levels and stuff. If I would be like stuck in an area, but I could see that there was a checkpoint thing like coming up, I'd be like, okay, I'll go up this way a few times because I can collect like one or two pillows along the way. And then just purposely like let myself die. And I kept doing that. And eventually I got to something like 70 or something, 80 pillows.
Oh, jeez.
And I was just like, okay, now I have a good like buffer for just like moving forward in this game and not worrying about things.
I'll maybe try that. But
yeah, it works a little bit. If you have a little bit of patience to try and figure things out, and then you can try weird new strategies with some of the moves you've been taught. And I think that helped out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's a lot of... It's basically like a grind without it being an RPG.
Yes. A lot of... learning and trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll jump into my third game. I won't talk too much on this right now because I want to do like a whole... Well, I'll mention that at the end that I want to do like review episodes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But Disco Elysium, Final Cut,
jeez,
came out, a couple weeks ago,
ago? Yeah, I think March 31st or 30th, something like that.
Heard great reviews about it. I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And it's fantastic.
Like, so good.
it's an RPG, but without like fighting or gameplay like that. It's all dialogue and all reading and all point and click and stuff. And I was playing it. Narrative's great. The voice acting's great. All that's good. But there's something I'm like, why do I really, really enjoy this? I couldn't figure it out until last night. I got to a point where they were telling me a backstory of something. I won't spoil what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But a backstory of something going on. And I was reading it and it kept going. We kept going deeper and deeper. I'm like, oh man, this is so good. And then it hit me. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Mm. If you ever play a game like, say, Dark Souls,
yeah,
maybe Hollow Knight or something like along the lines where you don't know the full scope of the story or what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll go online and like read like a wiki about it or read the whole entire lore. And then you spend like hours and hours just going deeper and deeper down into like each game, like what's going on. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is for me.
Oh.
But just in like game form. It's like I'm reading one of those articles about a certain game and I'm just going down deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like reading about history about something and it's just...
Okay, so you're saying that you're getting all that within the game without having to go and search for
things. It's like it's like a lore thing just in the game and I'm just continuing, like grasping. I'm like, oh, this is so engaging.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
And I could spend hours. Hours will go by and I've read like 20 or 30 minutes of something.
Yeah.
And hours have passed. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even realize it's been this long. But, and it's one of those games where you're like, you're not going to beat anytime soon.
Oh yeah, no. I was hearing, I think, some people that, you know, seem like they're roughly around the same area, and you know, it took one person like 5-something hours, it took another person like maybe 2 hours, and I'm just like, what the heck, dude?
There's so many different ways you can go and outcomes you can get. I don't know how many hours I'm into it, maybe 20, 30, I think.
Dang,
but I'm just fully getting grasp of what's going on. It's like the story's getting bigger and bigger. But I'm probably going to play it later today more because it's just so... I want to keep learning what's going on with the story.
Yeah, you're very engaged in the story.
Extremely engaged into the story.
Ah,
it'll be interesting to see once you get to the point where I'm at to see how you're taking it and stuff.
Yeah, because I've been playing some Disco Elysium also. It was more... What was it, last week that I was playing it and stuff? But, geez, I don't think... Because I know I've heard people have, like, experiences where they're just like, oh, man, I was laughing so much that, I was, like, crying or, like, my sides were hurting kind of thing. And I was like, I don't think I've ever hit that point. But Disco Elysium was, because I was alone in the house and I'm playing this game and I'm sitting on the floor and I'm just started to, like, bust out laughing and, like, cry a little bit. And I was just like, geez, there's some really, laugh cry. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, there's some really funny stuff in this game.
Like, the writing is just so good. I don't...
Mm-hmm. Now, the whole aesthetic of the game, is it, like, people look kind of gross and, like, on purpose? Like, this whole area is kind of, like, slummy and nasty and dingy because you're, you know, a detective in this, like, murder scene and stuff. But the, just kind of the way that they started up everything where, like, your character doesn't know who he is.
Nope.
And so you're just, like, I think I went to the bathroom to look in the mirror. And as I was, like, doing that, the character... Like, you know, his different, like, parts of his personality, like
thought
his personas
process
and
stuff, yeah.
They, like, start to, like, jump in there, and, like, one of them, I don't know what it's called, but it's, like, the one that has, like, a world for, like, a head kind of thing.
Oh, Island, like, Empire?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, yeah. Where it's, like, it's this otherworldly type of sense that you have, and I think that thing was just, like, oh, you really don't want to look in this mirror.
Yeah, don't do this.
You don't want to know what's on the other side of that fog. And I'm just like, what? And then I think I chose something like, oh no, I do want to see this. Like, I want to know. And so I looked and stuff and then saw, I don't know if it was, I think what I remember seeing was it was like my character was like smiling at himself in the mirror.
And it's like a grin that's stuck on your face.
Yeah. And it's like, you see this awful looking grimace stuck on your face. And it's like, oh my gosh, is that what I really look like? Is that what's wrong with your face? Why are you doing that? It's like, what is happening right now? And then I had to make a check to see if I could, like, take the smile off of my face. And I was like, what is wrong with this game? What's happening here?
There's also, throughout the game, you have, I don't know if it's the electrochemistry or one of the ones
The one who's, I was talking about, like, drugs and stuff.
Yes. Every time there's, like, a drug introduced or a drug talked about by a different character.
Something that has to do with, like, addiction.
Yeah, your drug thought process is like, do it.
Yeah.
Do all the drugs. Screw this. Take all the drugs. There's one, I was at a fishing place, and there was a lady, she was talking about, like, her husband and stuff without going spoilers, and she's like, how she drinks and stuff, and then the electrochemistry thing popped, was like, you know what you should do? You should actually go on a date and you both do drugs. Lots and lots of drugs. Jeez. And I'm like, what the freak is this?
Yeah, there's some like, I mean, so that's, you know, that's part of the whole like aesthetic and like appeal of the thing is that, you know, everything is so like messed up in this world mm-hmm. that you're kind of just trying to navigate through and stuff. I think I'm going to probably, because I'm only, I think, a few hours in, if anything, I may try to create another character because mm-hmm. in the beginning, like when you can choose your stats and stuff, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if you went with one of the pre-made ones or if you
I did my own.
Own. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like I went and created my own also, but basically like what ended up happening is I was looking through all these different like stats and things, and I'm just like, man, it's really hard. Like the game creators did a really good job of kind of balancing everything in there. So it was like nearly impossible for me to figure out like which ones I wanted to specialize in mm-hmm. more because of the type of game that I thought was coming up kind of thing. Yep. And so because of that, I basically just chose average on every single thing.
Oh, really?
And so I think that's probably going to come back to bite me eventually where the checks start to get harder.
Yes.
And so then I'm just like, okay, well, I'm going to always be at like a 50% chance of getting this or not.
I've noticed because when I first did it, I did my empathy was key thing I wanted to pick, and I did a lot of other like other thought processes and like volition and mm-hmm. composure and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I noticed through the game my empathy, those dice rolls are really good and I can like connect to people and I can understand what they're saying. Mm. But my physical stuff is so bad. I can't intimidate much of anybody.
So
every time I try to like break down a door or break it, I can't do it. So your partner Kim has to do it for you, or he'll just like, oh, we're not getting in there. I'm like, crap, I can't do this.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I just remembered. Okay. So this is the one thing that I'll mention there, because this was the funniest thing when it happened. So super early in the game where you are, so you've just met your partner, Kim, right?
Yes.
I think we went, yeah, we had just met up. We went over to talk to the like manager of the hotel that you're
in. Yes. The whirling,
yeah, what's it called?
Whisk, whirling, something like that.
Yeah. And then, so we went over to talk to him, right? And previously, like, he and I had spoken, and basically, like, you know, it wasn't, like, a great conversation. Like, he doesn't like us.
Yes. For reasons you'll find out.
Yeah. And for one of the reasons that you find out pretty early is, like, you destroyed, like, your hotel room that you're staying in.
Yes. I think you threw, you've like, done a lot shoe. More than that.
Oh, yeah. I assume there's got to be. But I know, like, you threw your shoe out of the window the other night when you were super drunk, and now he's just like, okay, like you have to pay me like this money to like fix this room and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
And I went through like this whole conversation with him and Kim, and we're trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to figure out his relations to everything going on and whatnot. So I'm asking him like questions that he's getting real mad at, like, oh, like, are you the murderer kind of thing? And he's like, what are you talking about? Why would I be the murderer? And so like we're like just going back and forth, and he like still doesn't like us and whatnot. He gets to the end of the conversation where he's like, okay, like, you know, you owe me, like, talking to your character, you owe me, like,
130
real. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if real is equations to, like, dollars and whatnot. Yeah. But it's like, okay, you owe me this much money. And I'm just like, oh, man. I know just, like, off the top of my head, as I was walking around this place, I've been collecting, like, cents of real. And I'm just like, I don't have any money. And so a check comes up that it's like you can try to sneak away.
Oh God!
From the conversation at the end, and I did it, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this out, because you know how hard could this check be? But I didn't. I think it's one of the first like bigger kind of checks that you see happen where I tried it out, and I've seen now that, you know, if it shows like reddish orange on the screen, it means you failed it.
Yes,
and I failed this first check, and my character like. On the spot, just like crouches down and starts to running dash towards the door to get out. And as he's running away, he like spins around in slow motion and gives this guy the double birds with his hands. And then it's like time is like stopped basically.
Yeah.
Because your character is about to crash into this lady in a wheelchair.
Oh no, she's so cool too.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is happening right now? Because this dude's trying to pretend to like he's getting away, like all smooth and stuff. And then the narration is just like, oh, like, you know, you turn around, or as you jump like midair, you turn around and flip him the bird. But why are you doing it with both hands? Why not just one hand? And then you can see you're about to crash into this lady, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is gonna end so badly. And so I sat there for, I think, like, I don't know, 10 minutes or something, just like loading the save over and over again
to get it, yeah,
to see what would happen if I actually did make it. And I gotta say, like, the failure was way more funny than the actual, like, success. Because you may have got the success one, but it's like, as you...
No, I didn't even try it.
Okay, yeah. So I finally got to see the success one. And he does the same thing where he, like, crouches down and then just takes off at a sprint and basically just, like, runs out of the hotel.
That's awesome.
Which is like, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's probably way more realistic than trying to do what you just did. But, yeah, I was just like, oh, my gosh. And then the thing is, too, is, like, I get through that part, right? And it's not as if the, you know, your character got away without, like, smoothly, without having to pay this guy. I still had to go back in there at some point to talk to him again. Yeah, and he's like, hey, nice to see you back. That was kind of a dirty thing you pulled back there. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, about that.
Last thing I'll say about it before we jump into your games. Mm-hmm. In that same conversation, there's the option, like, when he tells you, oh, you have to pay 130 real, and you're like, what's real? And he'll explain it to you. So it's basically money. And you're like, what's money? And you pull out, like, is this money? You don't remember anything at all.
Oh my
gosh. It's so good.
Yeah, there's some really great dialogue stuff in there. So, like, I want to get back to it, but I see what some people have meant, where this game is going to be very, like, dialogue heavy. Because like the entire thing I've seen so far is all dialogue and checks with, like, dice and things like that. I'm just like, whoa, man, I got to be in, like, a specific, like, I want to read a lot or listen a lot before I go back and play.
I've noticed I thought the same thing, but for some reason this game, like for Persona, like, sometimes I'll just stop playing Persona because it's just
a lot of text.
Everyone's just talking. But the dialogue in this is just, there's not one point where I'm not curious to say what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you learn something, you hear what they're going to say, and I've never been like, oh, man, there's more dialogue to read, which is very strange. That this game can, like, intrigue me that much.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And that's the thing, too, is, like, this is different from other dialogue-heavy games where I care about all the dialogue in here, so I want to play. But also, it's just, like, eventually my brain is just like, okay, I'm like, there's a lot of things going on here, and I got to take a little bit of a break.
Right.
But very, very just, like, good dialogue, great dialogue in
so
general.
Good. But what games have you been playing?
Okay, so besides playing a little bit of Disco Elysium... What other things have I played? I know I played a little bit of Monster Hunter World that I mentioned.
There's one I really want to know about.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see if we figure out which one that is. I tried a little bit of Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 because was it PS Now was having some kind of sale where it was like $1 for a month, and I was just like, oh, well, you know, let's try it out. Let's see what this is all about. And so I started playing that one because we have the Ninja Gaiden Master Collection coming out, I think, in June or something. And I wanted to try it out, and the first Ninja Gaiden doesn't, or Ninja Gaiden Sigma or whatever, doesn't have trophies on PS3. And I was like, okay, well, let's just jump ahead. We'll play the other one when it has trophies then later
trophies.
On. And I was playing on PS Now, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. So, like, little, like, weird things for people that maybe wanted to try out PS3 games on there. I noticed that the, you know, trophies would pop on the screen, and it looks exactly like the PS3 trophy pop kind of thing. But when I, you know, go back to the menu to see my trophies, like, on the, I was looking on the PS5 and stuff, the game wasn't loading up, and I was like, oh, shoot, I broke something.
No.
So I don't know what's happening. So I end up kind of going through and popping, I don't know, 10, 11 trophies or something like that, and it seemed like it's a pretty easy ones to kind of get in the beginning. And then eventually when I ended up, like, quitting out of the game to go and play something else for a bit, I noticed after that, it seemed like they finally, like, populated. So I guess once you're fully out of the game and have, you know, gone back to the regular system, yeah, then it loads in. So that was kind of just a little scare that I was like, oh, no. I'm gonna have something messed up on here now. But it was fun, though. I haven't played a, you know, 3D Ninja Gaiden game before. And it's, like, very fast-paced and almost kind of like the... Because, you know, like, I've played things like Devil May Cry, like, the more, like, recent ones where it's way more fast-paced and stuff. This felt like an older version of that, but where it's, you know, fast still, but enemies that, like, hit you and stuff, they do, like, quite a bit of damage, and it's more punishing than, like, a Devil May Cry game kind of thing. But it's cool overall, like, so far. And nice. Then I think besides that, you know, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 15. I'm enjoying it in the beginning so far. I like that.
I hope you beat it, because I want to see your thoughts at the end, because, man, it's
yeah. I know you said you liked it a lot.
Oh yeah, I cried like a baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to put some more time into that. I think I still gotta do some research to see if I thought there was one more DLC that they were still trying to get out, or maybe have canceled by now.
I'm not sure.
For what's your name, Lunafreya, your character's wife or something.
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll have to look it up later. Because I remembered reading something a long while ago that they had decided to.
Because she's not a playable character in the game at all.
Oh, yeah. And it's like there was other, you know, episodes that were coming out. And so they got your DLC episodes out for, like, your other three buddies in the game.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, it looks like, the main bad guy.
Yep,
in there. Yeah. And then I think they were supposedly working on the Lunafreya one when they may have, like, ended up canceling it, kind of thing.
Okay.
So I got to find that later on to see if it was, like, still in the works or what. But I'm enjoying what I was playing so far there. Like, getting back into that kind of, you know, gameplay that Final Fantasy 15 has and stuff. Mm-hmm. It took a little bit where I was going through the tutorials again. And I'm just like, oh, man.
What's going on?
This is tough here, but I got the hang of it eventually. And now I'm going to probably go through it again afterwards. Nice. But played that. I've been playing some Final Fantasy 14.
Nice.
Which...
online.
Man. Yeah, the online MMO kind of game. I'm just like, huh, this is actually kind of fun. Like, I haven't played an MMO since... Jeez, I can't.
Silk Road.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what that is. I'm trying to remember the last one I maybe played. It was probably actually not that old of a one, but was it the Elder Scrolls Online? I guess I played some of that, but not a whole lot. And I think the last one that I played that was like Final Fantasy 14 was probably like World of Warcraft kind of thing, which was forever ago. And it's just like, yeah, it feels decent on a controller and stuff, which I think I like. And then the weird part for me is that I joined some random, they call them like free companies, which is like a guild basically. And I think all the people in there are probably playing on PC because I you know, went into the annoying like PlayStation type box thing and like typed out quick like small message, like just being like, hey, like what's up? I'm new kind of thing. And got a response back so fast. I was just like, no, there's no way that people are playing on console with me here.
Maybe this will get you into getting a gaming console or a PC.
Oh man, I don't think so. I don't think anything could get me into that.
Don't worry.
kind of thing. But let's see. On the PS Now side, I tried Marvel's Avengers as well a little bit. That was actually pretty cool. I like the opening so far of there. I finally reached the area where now I'm controlling some of the, like, you know, actual Avengers and whatnot. And got to the like Iron Man section again, and I was just like, wow, I still don't like the way Iron Man controls.
It's nice that you play these kind of games out of the to let you know, because they're definitely not.
Oh yeah,
I definitely won't try myself.
Yeah, that's it's been a weird thing, but that one I'm just like, okay, well, I'll play some more probably later on. I think I played that a few days ago and stuff. I tried a little bit of a game called Ruinverse, which is a Chemco game, and it's the first one that they have on the PS5 now. I told you earlier that I got a $5 add-on to basically triple my experience output and whatnot, because I'm just like,
no need to grind.
I don't want
to
grind. This is I'm playing this game because I'm interested in these characters, but I'm not interested enough to sit here and grind and stuff.
Yep.
And it's helped a lot. I like it. I way more appreciate this. I'm still like, you know, and the weird thing too is I think when I started playing the game, I realized pretty quickly how unbalanced it seems the like your characters versus like monsters in the area are. And it may have been because I ran into one like random it's like this creature that pops up sometimes. It's like a metal gnome, and the metal gnomes I think are super strong and super high defense on purpose, because like you only do like one damage kind of thing, but it's got like maybe 3 hit points. And then it's kind of like it does really strong like damage to you if it hits you. Or it'll just straight up run away, because, you know, it's one of those monsters that gives you way more experience than you would get monsters. Normally. And I think when I ran into one of those, like, just outside the town, I was just like, all right, what's happening in the game? Like, you're messing with me right now.
This is too early.
And so that's why I was just like, okay, this seems unbalanced. Let's just go ahead and, like, you know, I think I was just going to, like, try and, like, run around outside the town for a bit. And then I happened to see that there was a DLC thing that added triple experience. And I was like, ah, well, you know what? Let's just do this, see if it balances it better. And it seems like it does.
There you go.
So, you know, just an extra $5 to make the game more balanced. And now it's all working out fine. But it's interesting, though. I didn't know how I was going to like it because Kemco games are kind of like hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And this one's actually pretty cool.
Oh, nice. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. And then I played a little bit of Oddworld Soulstorm.
Yeah.
That one. It's man, it was such an intense opening scene and opening level that I was just like, this is like very clearly directly a sequel to like the original Oddworld game.
Yeah.
Like, was it Abe's Odyssey was like Abe's Odyssey, I think, was the original game like long time ago. And the remake or remaster of that was New and Tasty, which was on the PS4 and stuff. And after realizing it's directly tied to that and there's like some pretty crazy stuff going on, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm maybe interested in going and playing New Tasty.
There
New
you go. Tasty.
So I'm going to try and do that. It's going to take some time, though, because Oddworld games are very, like, clunky feeling. And it's like games from a different time.
Yeah. Kind of. You have to lead people and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the part that, yeah, it's got some interesting mechanics in Soulstorm.
Yep.
That I'm liking so far with, like, the crafting and, you know, just overall trying to kind of, like, run from cover to cover against these things with bullets and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see kind of what's going on in this story, but I need way more context than I have.
Right.
So I'm going to try and go back to New and Tasty to see if I can get it from there.
Nice.
But... I think the last one I'll mention here, because I think this is probably one of the more important ones, was Cozy Grove.
Yeah.
And man, have you played Cozy Grove?
No, I'm thinking of getting it because it's definitely, it's like PS4 Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Sony yeah. Animal Crossing. And it's like that. And then also the, you know, because the game is designed to play in like short chunks each day.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, you're this, what do they call it? Like a soul scout or something like that. You're a scout that basically helps ghosts kind of make peace and move on to the afterlife kind of thing. And you get sent to this little island called Cozy Grove. And as I've been kind of like making it through the different days, each day you get letters from your scout headmaster or whatever. And one of the ones I think I got yesterday was him telling me like, oh, hey, by the way, we realized that you got sent to... You were supposed to be sent to Cozy Cove, which is like a beginning kind of like area for like spirit scouts. But for some reason, you ended up in Cozy Grove. And he's like, ha ha, like that's a funny mistake there. But we don't have much information on Cozy Grove. So I'm going to see if we can like figure out what's going on over there to see like if it's like okay still.
Uh-huh.
And then like very clearly, like you were supposed to go somewhere easy for spirit scouts. And now you're in this like
super,
super like ghost ridden like area. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with these people? But all the ghosts that you meet up look like bears of different types.
Nice.
And
can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, and as you're like kind of like going through, like you help these bears out, and each time you help one with like a small task or something, usually it's like going and finding something that's on the ground on the island.
Yep.
And then you bring it back to them. As you kind of like help them out, it fills up this kind of heart meter that they have above their head, and kind of slowly is supposed to kind of like help them open up to you so that you can then help them move on kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
But then they give you spirit logs, and you bring those logs back to your like campfire, which is like this campfire looking spirit thing or whatever. it's like a flame. I think he's called Flamey.
Okay.
And he's like a flame with eyeballs in the mouth and stuff. And he basically will like eat these spirit logs, kind of like flare up for a moment to become like stronger and whatnot, and kind of like expand the color around the campfire a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you kind of do that, like eventually he tells you like, oh, you know, like I don't sense any more like logs out there for today. You'll probably have to come back tomorrow kind of thing. So it's like, you know, if you go around the island to collect all the logs, like one log per bear or whatever, eventually you get all of them and then you can feed all those to the flame guy. But past that, you can't do anything else.
Right.
So then I'm just like, okay, at first I was kind of like, oh, I kind of like when I, the first or second day I was playing, I was like, I really kind of want to just keep playing. Going. But I can't because I'm being told there's nothing else I can do.
Right.
And so I was kind of down like at that point. But now I'm kind of like, okay, well, this is actually kind of nice where I jump in, get some logs real quickly, and then go back. And I'm just like, okay, now I can move to like some other game. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to work out a little bit
nice.
Better.
Now my main question, do you think you like it because of the setting and story? Or do you think you like it because of the gameplay? Because if it's the gameplay, then do you think you'll try out Animal Crossing, because it's very similar minus the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen, like, because I haven't played Animal Crossing before, but I've seen, like, the type of similarities that this one has with Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And I think right now it's kind of just the, like, bite-sizedness of the game that I like. Mm-hmm. And I like the, you know, the chill music in the background, and, like, you know, the characters are kind of, like, zany and kooky and stuff. So I think Animal Crossing probably would vibe with me a little bit now that I've gotten to play some of Cozy Grove and get, like, a feel for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. How stressful is the whole, like, Tom Nook, you owe him a billion bells or whatever?
You, not at all. There's no deadline. Okay. There's nothing. He just tells you, you owe me this. Until you do this, you can't upgrade your house.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, there's a tent upgrading system in this game. And I don't think... Well, actually, I probably could upgrade it now. There's... Each time you want to upgrade your tent, you need, like, so many gold old coins, I think they call them.
Mm.
They're not gold coins. They're old coins. Okay. They're, like, little pennies or whatever. And then I think early in the game, I would find some old coins from, you know, helping somebody out, and, like, they spread color around, like, themselves for just, like, the period at that time. And then you can, like, you can see coins start to pop up, like, around their colored environment. And so you can go and collect those and whatnot. I'm like, oh, I'm doing really good. Let's see if we can upgrade this tent. And the tent upgrades, like, 5,000 coins. And I'm just like, all right.
Dang game. It.
Here we go. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be tough to do this. But
yeah.
I think recently I sold a bunch of stuff and have a lot of coins now. So I could probably upgrade things. But
is there a bank system? Because Animal Crossing has one.
No. I think it's just you just have all these coins.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know. Is the bank system on Animal Crossing, is it like you get interest if you put coins in there? Oh, okay.
So you can only hold in your pockets 99,000 coins.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So you have to put, they come in like bags. You have to, yeah. You go in the bank. You can pay within the bank or the ATM too. So you put money in.
Okay.
And then there's a section where you can, like, deposit money into your loan for your house.
Gotcha. Then, okay. Yeah. So that one's kind of what's called trying to get you to move money into this loan and stuff. Okay, I see. Yeah, I think this one, because I'm early, like, maybe there is a cap eventually, but I haven't hit anything where it's just like, oh, you gotta go put some money away now.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, I don't know, hiding old coins in a tree or something, maybe.
Buried under the ground.
Yeah, but there's some weird things in there where it's like, now I've started to learn that different you know, creatures that you can, like, have nearby you, as well as, like, fruit trees and plants and things like that, if they create, you know, something that you can harvest, basically, then if they have certain, I guess, like, decor and, like, decorations, like, around them that they like, and if you put those things around them, that you get more stuff each time you harvest.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of an interesting little thing to think about. But yeah, it's a cool game. It's nice. Very, very chill. I don't normally play very, like, chill games like that. And it's kind of a nice...
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, exactly. It's been nice like that.
Before we move on, I want to make a correction.
Oh, yeah.
You have spots in your pockets for Animal Crossing. You like, can upgrade how many things you can hold.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 99,000 coins, you can have 99,000 coins in one bag total of money.
Oh,
so you can put that in one pocket, and then you can have another 99,000 coins, and then you can have another 99,000 coins.
Gotcha.
But the bag would only go up to 99,000.
Okay. So then you can have multiple bags.
Yes.
I see.
It'll just be taking up space in your pockets.
Okay. Oh, that is one thing. That the pocket space in this game, because I'm collecting so many random things, I end up just like, I'm like, man, I have no space here. I gotta just go and sell a bunch of things. But so far, it seemed like, you know, it hasn't seemed like, you know, going and selling a bunch of stuff will, like, make it so, like, oh, now I'm missing the thing I needed.
Right.
I shouldn't have sold it kind of thing, because I find things so, like, randomly all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that part is working out okay, because usually, you know me, like, I collect as much stuff as possible, even if I'll never use it. And then I'm just like, oh, man, but what if I need this piece of lint over here and I can sell it for, like, a million later?
Ugh.
But, yeah, it's weird stuff there.
Welcome to the Slice of Life fan club.
Slice of Life fan club. Oh, man. You know, and I played, it's a weird Mahjong game. And I'm just like, man, I thought these
Mahjong
trophies were...
Mahjong Solitaire.
Yep, I thought these things were going to be easy trophies. And I'm like, nope. Not easy. Mahjong is hard, guys. Mahjong is very hard.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, that's pretty much it though.
I think.
And was curious, was Cozy Grove the one that you were asking about, or you were
thinking about? It was mostly that, but then I saw the delicious Pretty Girls Mahjong Solitaire. I was like, that's a name.
Yeah, it's definitely a name and it's definitely a game. But yeah, it's, yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's got a trophy list that looks like it should be easy trophies, right? It's like 10 or 11 golds and one silver and a platinum.
Right.
But I mean, like, you know, for easy trophy lists, usually you got people in like the 80 or 90% that have this thing on PSN profiles. I think it's sitting at like just over 60.
Oh, geez.
Because I'm like, man, some of these Mahjong puzzles are tough, dude. Mahjong is not my strong suit.
Yeah, it's like you gotta, I feel you there.
Because it's not even just like you have to beat one level. It's like to get the trophy and advance through this thing, you have to finish like three levels in a row type of thing.
Ooh.
And you can fail and like retry a level, mm-hmm. but it's like, you know, you do the first one, which is not too bad. Second one, it's like a little moderate type of thing. And then the last one is always like harder. And when I get to that third one, I'm just like, oh, over and over and over, just dying.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it's like I'm not doing things correctly or if it's because, like, you know, I need to strategize as I do this because I'm trying to, but it's just not working. Sometimes, too, I'm like, you know what? Maybe like solitaire, this is all luck and I'm just not meant to get it. So I don't know, but... It's a tough thing, Michael.
You enjoy that. I will not.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Michael, we got a few updates on some more delays.
Nice.
Because 2021 going to be the year of delays, probably. There was a lot of delays. No, there wasn't a lot, but there were some delays in 2020.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have a lot in 2021.
Yeah, repercussions from last year.
Exactly, yeah. So the latest delays, we have Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. Has I guess it was previously expected in, I think, what they say, spring of this year. Now it is kind of delayed indefinitely, so we don't know when it's coming out later, but they're doing a lot of work on it, it sounds like. And then Deathloop, which was supposed to be coming out in May 21st, now has been pushed to September 14th.
Oof.
So that's the sad one of the week.
Now we're going to get five more trailers from the game.
Oh, I really hope not, man.
Not either.
At this point, like, you know, the last trailer got me excited and stuff, and I'm just like, okay, trailer. I don't need to see any more.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that Deathloop song they got going on here. Other than that, like, don't
just
show me anything
don't
else.
Don't show us anything, just give us the game when it's ready.
Oh, man. Such a sad, weird
time right now. It's unfortunate.
But, what is it? May, we still have the Mass Effect collection coming up.
There you
up.
Go.
So,
it's exciting.
It'll all be good stuff anyways. I think besides those updates, there was one game coming out this week, a new game that I'm actually kind of excited for. And now, Michael, have you ever heard of a game called, no, this is not the new game. This is an older game. What's it called? I think it's called Aqua Kitty.
Yes,
Milk
I have it.
Mine Defenders DX or something.
Yep.
There's a new game coming out called... Well, shoot, what is it? Hold on. Aqua Kitty. No, Astro Aqua Kitty. And it's apparently coming out on the PS4, and it's got a trophy list for the Vita, like, separately as well, which is awesome.
Now,
it's supposed to be a... So it's by the same people who made that Milk Mine Defenders, right?
Yes.
And this one is like an RPG-type game as well, where it's like action RPG kind of stuff. You're still like this cat crew inside of a like submarine or ship or something in the water, and you're just kind of like zooming around, like fighting bad guys, mining things to get like ores and stuff to upgrade your ship and whatnot. And then there's like boss battles and things and stuff, and I was like, this looks pretty super cool right now.
It does. The artwork looks like a Star Fox-esque
game. Yeah, I mean, and it looks similar to, like, you know, Milk Mine Defenders and stuff.
Yep.
Which, you know, the more I say it, the more ridiculous that thing sounds.
It's weird.
But it's pretty cool looking. I'm surprised. I was very surprised to see that there's a Vita version of it coming out.
There you go. Reason to play the Vita.
Yeah, dude. Man. And that kind of brings us towards one of our first stories of the news this week, Michael. The officially, it happened, what, I think last week, probably like shortly after we recorded our weekend episode, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we got official news that the PS3, PSP, and Vita store is all going to be closing.
Yep.
Sad days, Michael. Pour one out for the old stores.
You can still buy physical, just not digital.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like, you know, it's... The sad thing where physical stuff will probably, you know, start to go up in price because now you can't get things physically, digitally coming up soon. So the PS3 and PSP stores are shutting down on July 2nd, and then the Vita store shutting down on August 27th. Vita is still getting some games, like obviously Astro Aqua Kitty or whatever. And then I think later this month, in, I think like 11 days or something, Scourgebringer coming to Vita as well.
Oh, nice.
As also PS4.
But yeah.
Vita, Michael. Crazy.
This, it's life,
still,
man. It's
we're
life.
Still getting things for Vita, and they're just like, nah, let's just close these stores down, you know? So that's kind of one of the more like sad things of the week. I figured later, not right now, because I'm not prepared for it. And because I'm just telling you about it right now, you're not prepared for it probably. I wanted to make kind of a list of like the top Vita games that I wanted to do, like one for Vita because I didn't have a PS4.
I have, there's already a couple I have in mind, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know there are some that you have in there. And I think like if we both have like a list of like seven or so, we can put that together and then come up with kind of like a like list of like things that people should check out on Vita and stuff if they wanted to. As well as I figured like PS3 might be a cool one as well.
Yeah.
That one is closing
a little harder.
a little harder, but I think, yeah, that's why I'll take some time to kind of think through things. And then probably as it gets a little bit closer, like maybe next month, we'll probably put something out like that. Just so it's not, you know, too late for people to go and get things if they are specifically like digital only type stuff on there. But we'll plan these things out and kind of let people know when it's happening. It'll probably also be in the title of episodes. So that's probably also
self-explanatory.
But you know, besides that one ties in a little bit with like another story that popped up last week where apparently some PS Vita developers weren't actually warned that the stores were going to be closing. So the one of these stories comes from Matt Kim over on IGN, and you know So one of the developers that he was talking about was called Lilimo Games, right? I believe they're the ones who also, I'm not sure if helped develop or helped publish, Colin Moriarty's game?
The block shooter.
Yeah, it's the Brick Breaker game.
Yeah,
I forget what the full title's called. I'll have to look it up later. But that one, so that studio basically had another Vita game that they've been working on, and now because the store is going to be closing and they hadn't been told about it, I think they are basically, you know, kind of out of luck over there. The story on IGN kind of mentions that Barry Johnson from the studio was saying that, you know, they weren't warned that the store was going to be closed, and they had, you know, recently purchased a second Vita dev kit so that they could continue to kind of like make games for it. So it's like people are, you know, still trying to do this stuff, even though clearly, you know, no one's making the Vitas anymore.
Yes.
And then now they're just like, okay, well, we can either kind of just like cancel our projects or try to really like rush and push things out because there's a specific deadline that if developers don't meet it, they can't put their games out on there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a weird situation.
Sony, I don't know if you have another story about it, but it ties into it with the whole, The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How that Sony's, there's rumors that Sony's has The Last of Us, the first on remake, even though this game's what, only 7 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And it got an upgrade to the PS4 already. And there's somebody on Twitter who I think put it really well that Sony is like an artist, a music artist who only makes
big hits.
They want that mainstream, big hit game, big hit thing, so people buy it, and they don't really care about making those smaller, obscure things.
Yeah,
they want the big hits, and that's it.
Yeah, no more Days of Puppeteers and all these other cool indie things. Now it's all just Uncharted and The Last of Us.
All major blockbuster games.
Mm-hmm. All Naughty Dog type games.
All Naughty games. Which is cool, but it also is like, you want variety, you know?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm looking for a charging port. But the, I mean, so like one of the things with the whole, like, you know, it'd be cool to have variety for all this stuff. And then I go and look at kind of like, you know, obviously The Last of Us did super well, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, just the idea of wanting to remake a game that, you know, came out like towards the end of the PS3, but you can play it on the PS4. And therefore, you can also play it on the PS5 because of backwards compatibility. So
exactly.
It's like, why?
There's no need for it, really.
Why do we feel this is necessary, people? I don't know.
Money. They want money.
So I was looking deeper into this story. There we go. So the final... So according to an email that, you know, developers... I think... No. Where is it? Okay, no. So it looks like IGN had separately kind of emailed and gotten confirmation that... Basically, the final day to submit games to the PS Vita store is July 12th. And the last day to release content is July 20th. Mm. And obviously a month and a week after that, the stores are just kind of like shut down and stuff for Vita. But
dang, man.
Yeah, dude, it's like you now have to hit this like specific thing. I think the other story that I had mentioned, yeah, this was Gabe Gerwin on GameSpot. I think this one mentioned that there was a, I'm not sure if it's this one or this might be this one. So basically, there was a developer who sounds like it's kind of a, you know, either a solo dev or a relatively small studio who has been trying to get this game that he's, you know, making and stuff on the Vita, as well as I think a few other like platforms. But he has done so much work on the Vita already that it's like, okay, I can either throw all this work out the window and just focus on the other like consoles and stuff. Or I put in like extra like crunch for myself to try and get this thing on there as well. And I think that's what he's going to try and do, is basically he's going to try and get this thing on there and hopefully it works out. And I'm just like, oh, this is rough, it man.
Sucks,
like,
man.
The idea that, you know, devs are now having to kind of like, you know, force themselves to work harder if they want to get their thing out on a Vita because they imagine it like playing well there and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, it's really gross.
I don't understand like why, even though Sony is like getting rid of the digital storage for those games, these systems, like, mm-hmm. I even if you're losing money on it, I can't imagine you're losing that much money that you get just can't keep them open with all the other money you're making on Last of Us 2 or Ghost of Tsushima or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's got to be so much money that you're making, not necessarily from the PS3 and the Vita stores themselves, but
yeah,
there's got to be so much money you're making from other things, like, say, like the new consoles, the PS5 and whatnot.
To balance it out or something.
Yeah, and then the PS4, like, all of the library on there. You got to be still making a whole bunch of money there so that it's like, why would you... You know, like, how much money could you possibly be losing keeping those stores open to then just be like, okay, we're going to shut it down and going to burn all these developers who are still working on stuff here and not tell them kind of thing. And that's the other thing, is just like the not telling people about it. It's like, I get it if you don't want to tell like customers like us about it, because it's, you know, when you got your message ready, you're ready to tell it, you can send it out there. Mm-hmm. But at least telling developers about it, who are like, you know, putting in all this time and effort on these platforms that, you know, they don't have to do but wanted to do kind of thing, and then just burning them by being like, oh, you guys find out at the exact same time as
customers,
you know, Joe Schmo customer over here.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, these are people that are like, you know, they're making you money because you get a cut of whatever sales their games make, and now it's just like, okay, well, sorry,
we're a big corporation, we don't have to tell you anything.
Yeah, we don't have to tell anybody anything, you'll just deal with it kind of thing. And it's just like, that sucks, dude. Yeah. This makes Xbox look real good lately.
Oh, they're doing great things.
All over the place. Xbox has been doing really cool stuff, and Sony's just becoming kind of gross.
2013 Sony.
Yeah, oh, before then. Because, like, 2013 Sony was getting better with, like, The Last of Us and stuff. It's like when did the PS3 originally come out?
2007?
2007, 8,
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the beginning where their console was like $600, and they're like, you'll get a second job for this thing kind of thing. It's like, oh, this is gross Sony again. I want cool Sony back.
They're making me glad I enjoy Nintendo a lot.
Oh yeah,
Nintendo has some shady things they do, but at least doesn't seem like they're ghosting developers and just not like closing stores like that. Other than the Mario stuff, but
yeah,
that's a whole different story.
Nintendo's got some things too, but it's just like, yeah, it's everybody at this point, you know, like if we're kind of, it's kind of constantly changing, like who should be looking to who to like model their like company relation with like customers after and stuff. At this point, everyone should be looking towards Xbox and being like, okay guys, maybe act a little bit better like that, and then
customers,
I just feel like if everyone was acting, you know, as well as Xbox has been acting towards like consumers and stuff, that, you know, there would be no, I don't know, I feel like there'd be way less like bad blood amongst like everybody kind of thing. You know, it's not even
there'd
like
be a, less probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's still going to be some, but it's like, you know, if everyone's doing like top tier work kind of thing, then it's like,
yeah.
You know, there's no downside to that.
Let people enjoy what they want and don't hate on other people, you know.
Man, Michael, so disappointing.
I know.
We'll move past that into the thing that we kind of
we'll
talked about a little bit.
We'll probably come back to that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll come back to it eventually. I mean, this is just kind of a like real sad thing on the side of people who enjoy PlayStation kind of stuff, just to see them kind of making these weird moves. But another weird move brought up by Jason Schreier over on Bloomberg is that, you know, they are trying to, or they, okay, they've, there's been some weird kind of like developments in terms of kind of this whole story, and he's got like a longer story on Bloomberg that I think is worth a read and stuff, because it really kind of goes into the details of like what's kind of wrong with the whole process behind the scenes on this. Apparently there was kind of like a small group of developers that, you know, had been wanting to make a, you know, rather than start from scratch on a new, like brand new IP kind of thing, they had the idea of like, okay, maybe if we do a remake for some of these popular games, it's pretty easy to then kind of like, you know, up-res things and make changes here and there. And because it, you know, carries the title of a remake, it's not going to, you know, hopefully, like, creatively be hindered by previous games and whatnot. Obviously, there'll be some hindrance because of, like, fans' expectations and stuff, but they have more creative license to kind of change things with it being a remake. But then kind of going through the whole, like, article, it does sound like Sony, you know, didn't like the product that they got shown, I think, back in 2019, as far as, like, you know, I think it was a section of the, like, game to come kind of thing. And because of that, they brought people from Naughty Dog over to help on the project, and now it kind of seems like, I think they basically jokingly, it sounds like, call this, you know, group, the remaining group, because a bunch of people have left and stuff since then, they kind of jokingly call this remaining group like Naughty Dog South, apparently. And I'm just like, oh, this sucks. Like, the people wanted to do something like cool, and eventually it just became like, you know, people from Naughty Dog that may or may not have worked on the original game came over and have kind of just taken over like creative lead on everything here, because their opinion holds more weight, being that they are from the studio who created the original game.
Yep.
And just all these things here, I'm just like, ah, this sucks.
Then in the same article, maybe I might be wrong, but similar, then they mentioned how the Sony Bend wanted to do Days Gone 2, and they were basically
they were turned also told no.
And you're not as good as Naughty Dog, you're not selling, your game did good, but not good enough.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing, is that, like, you know, it's not even like the game, you know, failed and didn't make the company, like, money and stuff. Like, it was profitable, apparently, but not to the level that, you know, corporate Sony wants to see. And so they're just like, oh, no, instead of working on a sequel, you know, I think they were originally, wait, am I thinking of the right thing? I might be mixing a couple things up and stuff, but I know that there was talk in the article about wanting to put the studio on, I think this is Ben, wanting to put that studio on basically part of, I think part of them on a, was it The Last of Us multiplayer?
I think so.
Yeah. And then the other part on, I think something to do with Uncharted kind of stuff. And then eventually, you know, like, we had some people like leave, I think Sony Bend as well, on like the higher side. And then after that, the like new management people in Bend were asking Sony, like, hey, like, could we just like not work on this, you know, this thing that we don't really want to work on, and work on something else that we're passionate about. And luckily they got the green light for that. But it's like, why do you even have to ask about that?
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even, and I've been seeing things like people are blaming Jim Ryan and stuff, which is,
yeah, I know. Now he's,
but then there's
like
also people are like, it shouldn't all just be Jim Ryan. Who's the
Herman Holst?
Herman Holst is also making decisions too.
I assume there's multiple people that are now making decisions, and, you know, like, the decisions are going to come from the top for this. So, like, the only two people that we know are Jim Ryan and Herman Holst. But, you know, if the decisions are coming from below them, then we have no way of knowing.
No,
now.
We don't know.
So it's like, come on, guys, you gotta start making things look a little bit better for yourselves at this point. But, man, such a weird time, Michael.
Hopefully it's not a sign of dark times for Sony.
Oh, gosh, hopefully not. Yeah, we're entering the Sony Dark Ages part two. Like, oh, jeez, I don't want to be part of that, Michael.
History always repeats itself.
Oh, jeez. Then the last story that I have on here was actually one from yesterday over on VGC, where it says Nintendo says it will focus more on original game series in the future. Part of that article as well, so, you know, they were talking about how, like, in the article it talks about how over the past like couple decades the kind of more significant original IP launches were things like Splatoon, Wii Sports, and Pikmin.
Yep.
Which, pretty large time gaps in between all those comparably, but along with that kind of stuff, they were talking about how, like, okay, looking at the, you know, the state of the market overall, they have a lot of competition between, I would assume they're talking about Xbox and Microsoft and Sony. But they're kind of having to, you know, fight for the attention of the consumers and stuff now, right? And probably, at least it seems like now they're kind of starting to realize, hey, like, you know, these things aren't maybe hitting as well as other companies, like, and their hits and whatnot, so we got to start
making
some new things. I wonder part if, like, you know, because in my mind, when they announced, was it Splatoon 3 at the end of their kind of, was it bigger Nintendo Direct earlier in the year?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they kind of were, like, kind of going through, like, comments and, not just the comments, but just, like, reactions overall and stuff, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, like, a banger showcase or anything like that, and I think part of that is because there's not a whole lot of crazy new things stuff, going on.
Could be.
Or at least, like, you know, on the side of big, like, big moves from Nintendo kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? There's some cool things with the stupid name, Project Triangle Strategy or whatever. but, I mean, there's some big moves that are being made, but not the kind of, you know, huge moves that are getting people excited about things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like, you know, I don't know if it's like Nintendo has gotten themselves in this rut or if it's like fans have put them in this rut where it's just like Mario and Zelda are like the big things that people care about.
Yeah.
And Nintendo then maybe can't get out of this like thing of like only going through these like two franchises for big releases,
mm-hmm.
and then you know other things on the side don't do quite as well.
Right.
But yeah, what do you think about all this, Michael?
It's cool. I know they could go back to doing. I know Metroid is in the works somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and all these old properties. But I like the idea of them making new things. Like I know Splatoon's big, but Splatoon's like a niche thing, I feel like.
Yeah, just like how like Metroid's a pretty niche thing as well.
Yeah, I feel like if they don't need to make like the next, I think, Mario, next Zelda, next Donkey Kong. If
they did, it'd be amazing.
It would be amazing, but I think if they make things like Triangle Strategy or even like Astral Chain or I know Monster Hunter is already a known commodity, but mm-hmm. seeing how Monster Hunter came on the Monster Hunter Rise, people were buying it like left and right.
Yeah.
They do smaller, newer IP things. I think obviously people are going to play them, I feel like, because I think mostly Nintendo knows how to make these, even if they're smaller niche things, how to make them good.
Yeah. And then with the proper, like, what is it, advertising and things like that, you can get people excited about new games without, you know, without the crazy amount of like build up and like kind of legacy of like other like titles from their franchises.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the only other interesting thing that I had in here in that same story was I think during the interview they mentioned that I don't have the exact wording because I'm trying to scan through this and stuff, but they mentioned how they, you know, they're always looking at new hardware and stuff in terms of kind of like future consoles or iterations on their consoles. And they, I think they had an interesting line in there where they talked about how, you know, basically like they're not going to move forward with anything like new because it has to, or at this point, right? Not yet,
mm-hmm.
because it has to bring something new into the like, you know, Nintendo ecosystem, like as a whole kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas like, you know, the Switch being able to play it like console and then like on the go kind of thing. That was a pretty huge step that when Nintendo announced it, it was like, this is crazy.
This is amazing.
this is the next step that they needed kind of thing. And I kind of got to think, I was like, man, like Nintendo, I don't really know where they would go from here because like, unless you're just making the Switch like better, right? I don't know what type of new things. And then that's just because I'm not a visionary, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know what kind of new things that you would bring out to then, like, you know, justify it being, like, a brand new console, right?
Sure. Well, I will say Nintendo is a company who has made a cardboard box and a circle exercise thing very, very popular. So
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they got visionaries in their side.
I'm sure they can think of something, but It's hard right now to think of like where else they could go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then it's like it's when I look at just kind of, you know, Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, and stuff. Like Xbox and PlayStation have kind of like everything covered in terms of, you know, like they're constantly like higher graphics, higher performance, just overall like more complicated games. I feel like on the like, you know, running side. And then when you come to, like, Nintendo side, it's like Nintendo, you know, they've killed it because of the idea of, you know, bringing your games everywhere with you and then being able to play on the TV and stuff. Mm-hmm. But obviously sacrificing performance and just kind of things overall in that aspect.
Right.
But then it's like, man, if Nintendo can't just go full on, you know, stay-at-home console again because the Switch has done so well and they want to still have that kind of you know, uniqueness from the other like console manufacturers and stuff. And it's like, I have a hard time thinking of like, okay, well, what's next? Because Nintendo's always been, you know, doing a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But overall, it's like, man, it's like it's almost like they've, you know, they've done too well in terms of like innovation. And now it's like, well, how do we innovate better?
Beyond that, yeah.
Yeah. How do we innovate beyond that and get it to like a place where it's like, now this is the new hotness, right?
It'll be interesting to see what they do. Because I can also see, it kind of contradicts the article, I guess. Mm. But I can also see them just keeping the Switch model.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just continually like upgrading it and changing things because it's done so well.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of like want them to do. Like at this point, you know, without, because I don't know what they would go on to next kind of thing other than just making, yeah, like the freaking best handheld the world's ever seen.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it's like you can play it if like on the go, and then you can also put it like plug it into the TV and stuff if you want. But mm-hmm. yeah, now just making the processing of that like so much better.
Yeah.
And I think in the article they mentioned how at the moment one of the reasons they're not going forward with like any like big changes and stuff is the, I think they mentioned like the cost and like manufacturing of like basically all these new systems and stuff. And I was just like, well, that's kind of like tough then, because it's, you know, if you can't make a new, like, you know, improved version that like works way better than the original one mm-hmm. because of the cost, then it's like, okay, well then, you know, somewhere something has to give, where either yeah. you're gonna need to, you know, increase the cost of the, you know, better Switch, or you just kind of just keep the status quo where you're at and stuff, and just kind of, you know, fans just deal with it.
Just deal with it, yeah.
thing. But It's an interesting kind of place Nintendo's found.
Nintendo has always been an interesting place. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I want to see what they do later in the year, with the rumors and all the stuff that's going around with the new Switch and where they go from.
Yeah. Now, if a new Switch dropped and it was, you know, supposedly like, you know, better looking graphics and performance and things like that, and it was, because the normal one right now is 300, right? Mm-hmm. If it was like $400. Would you be down for a new thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would, if I had the money at the time saved, I would instantly buy it. Yeah.
Ah, nice. Well, there you go, Nintendo. Just put it out, and Michael's day one buyer.
Day one buyer. the more and more I've noticed, like, I think, out of fan-wise, I don't like saying I'm a bigger fan of this.
Oh, no, yeah.
At least in the video games, because other than Xbox, and I'm not a huge fan, they're doing things right. Mm-hmm. Nintendo has issues, obviously. But I think I've noticed I like, if I had to pick one, Nintendo is probably the one that I've focused more on.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think you probably spend more time on the Switch than your PS4?
I would say it's probably 50-50. There's a lot of games I play on the PS4 because the Switch can only play so much. Mm-hmm. But recently it's probably been a lot of the Switch because it's just, there's more games on it that I want to play at the time.
Okay, cool.
It's interesting.
Oh, and I just realized when we've been talking about, you know, throwing in Xbox here and there and stuff, I forgot that I've played a little bit of Outriders on
Game Pass.
It is like one of the weirdest, like,
I've heard mixed things,
middle road thing that I've experienced lately.
Is that a good thing or
I don't know yet. I think I'm too early to tell if it's a good thing.
Okay, because I've heard people like Greg Miller and stuff saying, "Oh man, this is amazing."
Yeah, and that's the thing is,
but
like,
I tend to feel like Greg has
sometimes he's got some wild theories and stuff. But I think, like, in general, from what I've kind of experienced so far in the first, like, I don't know, hour or two, something like that, I'm very early in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the story is so, like, strange and weird in there that I want to just kind of be like, okay, like, not pay attention to this, just play the game, because the gameplay is decently fun and stuff in there. I haven't gotten like a whole lot of powers unlocked.
There. Unlocked, okay.
I haven't gotten a whole lot of them unlocked yet, but as I'm unlocking them, I'm like, oh, this is actually really cool. Like, I like this, like, systems that they have. But then you get to, like, the, you know, the characters themselves, and you can see that, like, you know, in there, they really wanted, or I feel like they really wanted the story to be more impactful and like interesting, where it's like, you know, I didn't think that this was going to be a type of game where, you know, like I'd go into like a cutscene and then go to talk to a character, and I'm, you know, talking to the character almost like older game, like Mass Effect style, where, you know, I'm talking to them and then there's dialogue choices, and I can choose things that are off the beaten path or like off the main path kind of thing to just get more lore about the world and things and who these characters are. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that and like asking those questions on the side. And it's like they really wanted to give you more story and information about these like people and whatnot. But the I don't know if it's just like the writing is not like hitting, right? Where it's like the...
That's a shame.
Yeah, so it's like I want to like these characters more, and there are some cool characters in there that I think have, you know, things interesting that are like in their past, you know, past in quotations, like in the game and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, the actual writing itself for some of the characters, especially your main character, which is the unfortunate part, it's like not hitting super well. And I've kind of been thinking about it lately where I kind of wonder if there is now like a stereotype that not just game developers, but like people in general have about like military people and how they kind of like talk and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't feel like all military people talk a certain way, right? I think people even like...
It's a stereotype, stuff, probably, for sure. Yeah, there's
definitely a stereotype that exists, but I feel like it's so easily visible in video games when you go into something like Gears of War, which like, is, you know, still going, like that franchise is still going and stuff. Probably even Halo. I would assume Halo's going to have something similar, because I don't think dialogue's ever really been Halo's strong suit either.
Right.
But now, like, with Outriders as well, like, your character is, like, he's, like, a mercenary, basically. And all these other characters are kind of all, like stereotypical, like jugheads and all that kind of thing. But it's, like...
Like those tropes.
Yeah, it's, like, those old kind of, like, tropes and stuff where it's, like, oh, man, you and I were super tough and we're going about our business.
I don't care about things. I'm a badass.
Yeah, and it's, like, oh, man, Sarge, I'm so sorry that it happened to you. And I'm just, I'm like, what is happening with these characters? Why do they have to sound like this? Why can't they just sound like people?
Normal people.
Yeah, it's, like, normal people can have, like, the responsibility of, like, protecting... You know, other yes. people around them and stuff.
They can have some personality.
Exactly. And I'm just like, it's like they lack personality and stuff. And like the one character in there that you started talking to like at the very beginning of the game, who is, I think she's an engineer. What's her name? Shira, I think is her name or something like that. She was interesting, right, mm-hmm. when I first met her and stuff. And then there's a time jump because your character gets put into like cryo freeze and stuff. For like... Seemingly for reasons in the beginning of this game that didn't need to happen at all. Like, there's a main dude who's just very, like, stick up his butt. And, like, we have to... So the whole thing is, like, you know, Earth has been, like, it's destroyed. It's gone, right?
Uh-huh.
And you are now trying to colonize this new planet called Enoch. When you land, it's, like, a scouting party of, like, your Outriders, right? That's your, like, group's name and whatnot. And, you know, this dude who's kind of, like, in charge of the entire operation and stuff. He's not... part of the like military type of thing, but he's just like overseeing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very beginning, like, he's very just like mean to the engineer girl for no reason. He's like, you go and report directly to me
already
if anything that. Like happens here, because I'm the one who's on the line for this. And I'm just like, okay, well, why you gotta be so negative about this?
Yeah,
let's just calm down, right? But then you go and, you know, find this weird storm going on, and you're telling people like, hey, don't tell them that they can start sending people down here because it's not ready yet. And he's like, no, I'm sending people down right now. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Like, what is a thing to do?
Yeah, what's a stupid thing to do? What are you talking about? And then there's this whole, like, you know, thing that happens with the storm and stuff. Your character gets powers or starts to get powers. And then when you guys get back to the, like, you know, that first forward base or whatever, that dude's got, like, you know, his security guards and whatnot. And they basically start to attack you guys because... You know, they're trying to preserve the image of, like, it's totally safe down here. Come right. on down. And, you know, then you get put into cryo sleep because you're injured at some point. And you wake up, I think, like, 20-something years later. And then I'm just like, okay, well, yeah, like, you know, everything's real bad. It's like a post-apocalyptic kind of thing. But, you know, instead of the apocalypse happening, it was just, like, these crazy storms all over this planet
mm-hmm.
that, like, mess things up all the time. But then you meet up with Shira again, who's now, like... age 20, 25 years or something. She's got like gray hairs and things. And she is now speaking like a military like person. And I'm like, she wasn't like this previously. Like, why is she gotta act like this now? Like, she's all of a sudden part of the military crew and
right.
stuff. And I'm just like, this is a weird direction that they've kind of taken this
in. Don't know if I like this.
yeah. But then it's like, it's fun to like just run around and like
shoot things
and use your powers and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, these things just don't really mesh super well, you know.
Well, maybe the more you play it, the more you'll have like a definitive I like it or it's not for me kind of thing.
Yeah, I think if I get like several more hours into it, I should have an idea of whether or not I would still play it. Like I think a good test for this type of thing, since it's something I'm playing on Game Pass, will be if I enjoy it enough, then I would get it for for PS4 or I guess PS5, because you know there's no cross progression either right now.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I want to just go ahead and play it on the PS5, because man, Michael, playing on older consoles lately has been killing me. Like,
I can imagine.
The loading times in this game is like another thing that I'm just like, okay, I gotta keep telling myself this isn't probably how people should experience the game.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, I'll go into a cutscene. Cutscene happens for, I don't know, a few minutes, and then it goes to a load screen, and then after the load screen, I'm in to like playing the game. And I go through, I shoot a few things, and then I hit another load screen because another cutscene's coming up.
Yeah.
And after that, another load screen for back to the gameplay. And I'm just like, oh, this is killing me. What the heck?
I think that's the main thing. Like, if once I do get a PS5 or whatever, I think going back to old games, like the graphics and how it looks, wouldn't bother me. That wouldn't be a big thing for me. It would just be the load times, the amount of times waiting when I'd be playing a PS5. I'm like, oh, this is so fast, going back to a PS4 or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
man,
it's rough. Because I know, like, because I haven't played Watch Dogs Legion in since like the month or two after it came out. Because I got to start playing on the PS5 eventually, and that one I was just like, oh my gosh, loads so much better, like so much faster on that. Because I mean, on the PS4 when I was originally playing it, it was like, I don't know, anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds per load kind of thing. And I was just like, oh, like Witcher
load screens.
It's like early Bloodborne load screens kind of thing. I'm just like, oh, this is rough, man. But then going to the PS5 and playing it there, I was just like, oh, so fast, so nice. Fast. And now it's just like I play everything on the PS5. I'm still on my streak of like at least one trophy per day for the entire year kind of thing.
Right.
And so I got to go play probably some Cozy Grove later to get another trophy. but I mean, then it's just like, man, I go back to try and play like a PS4 game or now like an Xbox One game. And I'm just like, oh, so rough when like the loading screens start to pop up and I'm just like waiting.
I have precious time here.
I know, man. I don't have all the time in the world here to do this stuff. I gotta space things out appropriately.
I have a really good question.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With your trophies. Now, do you think it would be interesting to see if you could do it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do it. Play for like a couple months. Games that you don't get trophies.
Oh, you want me to go the opposite way?
Like, could you? Do you think you could do that?
I totally could, because this isn't even like a. It's not even like a goal that I'm trying to hit. It's just kind of like I've been doing long that I'm like for this year, I'm saying, is like the whole like one trophy a day thing. I've been doing it for a while and I'm just like, well, you know, why stop the streak now? I might as well just keep on doing it. But there are times where I'm just like, man, I've got like 10 minutes here to pop a trophy because I worked all day and then, you know, didn't do any like gaming and stuff until like now it's 11:50. I need to pop something now before this thing ends. And I'm just like, all right. Let's boot up, I don't know, Joe Schmo Kemco game and pop the opening trophy here. And I'm just like, all right, this works. But
oh my gosh.
There's been some close calls, Michael.
I can imagine. Because there's been a couple of days I haven't even played a game.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm just like, I don't think I've hit the point where I'm just like, oh, I'm so tired of playing games kind of thing.
Right.
But sometimes I'm just like, you know, like I don't always want to get a trophy. And so that's why if I just jump on and I pop something real quick, then I'm just like, okay, now I can go play Final Fantasy 14 for like hours.
Yes.
And not have to worry about anything. Because that one, I'm just like, you know, there are certain games that trophy popping is so far and a few between that, like Disco Elysium.
Oh yeah.
That I'm just like, oh man, I don't.
Yakuza 3.
Yeah, like I'm not like turned off by these games at all. It's just like I like to be making progress on things, and trophies, I think, for me are a good way to see indicators. Progress happening.
That's a good point.
But overall, like, you know, like I think probably a decent example is when I jump into Breath of the Wild, I can never tell how far like progress I'm making in that game.
No, you can't.
I'm just like, I'm playing and I'm like, okay, I know I've beaten like one boss so far.
Yeah.
And I know there's like, what is it, like three other bosses or two other bosses I have to get for these like, you know, beams to shoot towards Ganon's castle and whatnot. But then I'm just like, man, I don't have any like clothes to go in these like cold areas. So like, how am I even supposed to get there? I don't know how I'm supposed to get there.
Yeah, I think that's the appeal. But you just, it's the game. You just do what you want, man. You find things out. And you're like, oh, this is cool. Let's go over here. Distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I'm just like, man, if I was just like, you know, if I just had like a couple weeks where I was just doing like nothing but like, you know, eating and doing chores and like taking care of our puppy and stuff, that would be like a time when I could probably just jump into something like Breath of the Wild and just like do whatever.
Do it.
But like when I'm like, you know, I've got a few hours after work that I can like do this for a bit.
Yeah.
I want to be like making progress in something that I know is progress. Because if I'm just like jumping into, like if I jump into Breath of the Wild, I'm just like, man, I can't figure out where I'm supposed to get these clothes from to like get warm. And I don't know what to do now because I can't get to this next area. Well, which still
progress
seems like
if you're like exploring places, you're still making progress, like exploring.
Oh, yeah. Like I know
just
there's
like
I know there's
story progress,
that
progress
I'm,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the main thing. It's like the main story progress type of thing where it's like I know there's progress I'm making when I find a like a shrine and I go and complete that shrine and stuff. Like I know I'm slowly making progress there, but then it's like okay, I want to go and see the next like, you know, big story thing to learn more about what's going on. And I'm just like, well, I can't even get there because one of these areas is on like a fire mountain and the other one's in like the frigid area. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So
you're not exploring enough.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm not exploring enough. I need to explore more. But yeah, I think I would be down for that. I think at this moment, like until I break my streak naturally, probably I'll just keep on like
doing a trophy day,
doing it like just because I'm already hitting it and stuff. And I didn't even expect to get 4 months in for this whole thing like this, but I'm just like, well, I'm still here, so I might as well keep doing it.
There you go.
But yeah, I do enjoy like playing games that, you know, I'm not doing trophies like in and stuff very frequently, like Final Fantasy 14.
Right.
It's just kind of specific times where I'm just want to just explore. Explore in Final Fantasy 14 is one of the
things.
Oh,
it's a big
there.
World.
So
I can imagine. You're online.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think I don't really have any like spotlight things for this week, Michael. So I know you told me you have a name for this quiz segment.
I do.
What are we calling this bad boy?
We're calling this, so Nathan, I'm going to take you on a little side quest.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to call it. It's time for a side quest.
Okay. We're going on a side quest. We're going to answer some quiz questions here.
So now this quiz relates to RPGs.
Oh boy. Okay.
Now, I wanted to do JRPGs.
Oh, that's tougher.
And I went through all your trophies, all the pages you've got. And I'm like, he plays RPGs, but there's not a whole bunch of JRPGs that I can pick and choose.
Yeah, definitely.
I know some of you've played like Golden Sun and Tales of Vesperia, but I'm like, I can't think of like any other ones that he's really played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not like super far into a lot of like, RPGs, especially
because I'm
JRPGs.
Like, oh, Persona, nope, that's just me. Other Tales, of that's just me. Ni No Kuni, oh, that's just me. I'm like, oh, I can't choose these ones. I got some.
Okay, let's try this.
Okay, you ready? Now I'll state the rules. If I give you a hint, you don't get the full point. If you get it, you'll get half.
Okay, that's totally fine.
Okay, question one.
And you said it's 5 questions, right?
Yes, 5 questions.
Okay, cool.
Question one. What was the name of the bar in Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Oh my gosh. You're going hard out the gate.
I'm going all... Jeez. Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of hard if you don't.
Because I've literally only played the remake.
Yeah. That's why I did slash remake.
What the heck? Okay.
I was going to go, what was the red drink Tifa gave you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's way too hard.
Oh, jeez. What the heck is the name of this bar? Okay. I want to enact a rule where if I say pass, we'll come back to it.
Okay, that's right.
To see if I can jog my memory of anything else in here. Because I want to get an idea of if it's all going to be this
so pass
difficult.
It?
Yeah, let's pass for now.
I think this one, you should get the first part, second part, maybe a little iffy.
Okay.
Who is the main character in Golden Sun, and what town was he from?
Okay, so I don't know his last name. Is that
there? He doesn't.
His name is Isaac, for sure. Isaac, my boy. Was it Dale? Is that where his town is from?
No.
Dang.
You're close, though. Real close.
Or not the Veil. Is that what it is? Ah, Veil. Gosh darn it. Okay.
VLE.
Gotcha.
So I'll give you half point there.
Okay, okay.
Number three. This one, if you get this one, I'll be very happy. Mm-hmm. In Bloodborne, when you enter the Hunter's Dream, you cannot level up your character unless you have done something prior. What is that something?
Nah, okay, I'm gonna say a bunch of stuff. I'm not sure exactly which thing you're looking for here, but I know you have to...
There's one certain thing you have to do.
Yes, I know you have to get an insight point, which then wakes the doll to the...
There you go. Okay, gotcha. There you go. Nice. You have to gain one insight.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Number four. This one, I would hope you'd get.
Okay.
In Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
Noctis has three companions that join him throughout the game. What are each of their names?
Oh boy, hold on. So there's Ignis.
Ignis.
There's Gladiolus. Or Gladios.
Gladios.
Is his full name Gladiolus? Is that a thing?
It might be, but I know they just call him Gladios. Gladios.
Okay, okay. And then, shoot, what's the freaking picture man?
Yeah, picture man.
Oh, I'm trying to
remember,
like,
those dialogue, man.
I know. I'm trying to get them to say his name. Prompto.
There you go. Look at you.
Oh my gosh.
Now, number five is a curveball.
Oh geez. Okay.
It's a multiple choice.
Okay. Okay. Multiple choice.
What is my favorite JRPG?
Okay.
A, Persona 4 Golden.
Uh huh.
B, Yakuza 7.
Oh, geez, okay. That's why I was like, are you counting Yakuza as an RPG game?
C, Final Fantasy 9. Or D, Final Fantasy 7.
Oh, man. That is a curveball.
That is a curveball. Because I've talked about most of these games, but not...
Yeah. Okay, I want to say Final Fantasy VII.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
No.
Dang. Okay. Was it Persona?
No, it was Persona in the past.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's Final Fantasy IX.
Wow. Okay. I hadn't heard that it passed Final Fantasy VII. That's
impressive.
Once
I beat it, it's past Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's fantastic. Dang. Fantastic. Okay. Oh, okay. Now back to number one.
Shoot, what was that? What was the name of this stinking bar? Oh my gosh.
In Final Fantasy VII. So right now you have one, two, three, nope, two and a half.
I got 2.5 points, yeah, okay.
So to get 3.5,
man. Or three. Oh yeah, one, three. Okay, I don't think I'm going to be able to pull this out of my dome without a hint. So what's the hints you got for me?
Okay. See, that's a bad hint. I was going to say, I'll give it to you because I don't think you'll get it off of this one. I'll give you another hint, though.
Okay, okay.
There's a TV show named after this. And then the second hint
that definitely wasn't
is it has a number.
It has a number? And there's a TV show named after
this?
Yes. What the heck?
I'm pretty sure you've never watched the TV show. Way. I didn't even watch it, but I know of it.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, first thing that came to mind was like Lucky Slevin. I don't know.
Lucky Slevin.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to get it. What is it? Is there a flower in the
name? No. There's a seven in it. Seventh Heaven.
Oh gosh darn it. Okay, yeah, that is that is what it's called.
And it's a TV show also, which is, I think it was like a religious TV show.
Dang. Oh, was it really?
Mm-hmm, I think Okay.
I think I've heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. So 2.5 out of 5. Ooh, okay. Worse than last time, man.
It's just going downhill going down. From here. Okay. Wow. Now, would you be down for telling me the topic of the thing?
Beforehand? I could do that.
We'll do that. You don't have to tell me now because you're probably going to make it and stuff. But once you find out the topic, let me know so that I can at least like try to prep my mind for these things. Because
what are all of your trophies?
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is tough. Oh, geez. Okay, well, Once again, we have reached the end of another Bros and Consoles podcast coming to you each and every weekend. If you guys have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. You can also, I guess, find me on Twitter sometimes. I'm not always on Twitter. I'm not super active in social media things.
Yeah.
Are you very active?
I look at Twitter, but I never interact.
Okay. How about on, because you got other things.
I have Instagram, but Instagram, that's what it is, yeah. Never post on Instagram anymore.
I'm so old. I'm just like, yeah. You got something else that's a gram or something, right? I see. Okay. So that's why I'm just like, man, it's social media is hard.
It is.
We're kind of old, Michael.
Where don't
I'm
say
just
that.
Like,
don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that. But like, I feel it where I'm just like, man.
You're
like,
almost 30. I'm still in my 20s.
All right. You are 29, sir. You will be 30 next year. That's why I'm just like, man, I look at all these things. I'm just like, there's so many different like social media things all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm just like, how do people even have the time to do this stuff?
I guess if you have an online
presence,
you have to.
That's probably true, yeah. Man, oh well.
Good thing you don't.
Yeah, good thing you don't have to worry about that. I am Indie Ronan on pretty much anything you can find that, you know, involves video games at all.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is generally, I think, a side quest, mm-hmm. right? Okay. But then besides that, you know, email, easiest way to kind of get a hold of us there for the podcast itself. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody, and we will see you guys again next week.
Peace.
Cheers, everyone.